All right, pleasure to have everyone back with us before the Giants and the Braves go at it. We're joined by John Rooney. And fans, when you hear his voice, you know who he is. He's one of the great baseball broadcasters, national broadcasters, from time to time. He's a member of the Missouri Broadcaster Hall of Fame. I love talking ball with him. He is the play-by-play voice of the St. Louis Cardinals. And that is John Rooney. John, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Marty. All that means I'm getting old.
You and me both. But hey, it is, it's a great time of year. And I said it on the show earlier today, it feels like playoff baseball now, where each game has a distinct meaning. And we saw one last night at Oracle Park. And for the Cardinals last night, they've won six straight and they've opened up that one game lead over the Reds for that second wild card. The Cards are playing great baseball right now on a day to day basis.
Well, they are, Marty, and they're playing their best baseball of the year. They had not been able to put together pitching, hitting. They've always been able to catch the ball, though. That's one point of emphasis since Mike Schilt took over as manager 3 years ago, that they needed to clean up the defense and the base running. And those two areas of the club, I think, are very good. But the pitching was inconsistent, the hitting very inconsistent. And now they're starting to put together hits, timely hits, meaningful hits. When the other team gets close, the Cardinals have a tendency to pull away, like they did in winning the last two games against the Dodgers. And after losing in the ninth inning the first game against the Reds last weekend, the Cardinals won the next two, and they haven't lost since that game.
Well, they've got that look again of the great Cardinal teams that I look at them, and they, to me it looks like they believe they can win, and they're playing with that kind of enthusiasm. But, John, you look at the batting order, and I look at Goldschmidt in that two spot, Edmund leading off. But the guy for me that's turned it around is O'Neill with Arenado behind him. I mean, the 2-3-4, that's significant, and those guys are coming through in September.
And they are, with power numbers. You don't have to have just home runs to have power numbers, Marty. Add in some doubles, a few triples, and they're all capable of doing that. And Nolan Arenado, a couple of weeks ago, just lit into himself. On a post-game Zoom conference, he was very unhappy with his production. I mean, look, he's closing in on 100 RBIs. He's going to be a 30-home-run, 100-RBI-plus guy, and he's not happy with the way he has gone about his business this year. But since then, he's been on a pretty good tear. But Arenado has set those standards. Goldschmidt has those standards. Molina. And think about what Adam Wainwright's doing at 40 years old. 39, just turned 40. He has a chance to win his 17th game of the year tonight. And he's going up against Yu Darvish. So that's one of the marquee matchups for a Saturday night in Major League Baseball. And the games, though, you are watching are like playoff games. And that's what the wild card, even with a one-and-done format, which I've never liked. But I guess if you don't like it, win the division. But it does give you the sense in September that playing for meaningful games makes for better baseball.
Well, it does, and I think with the CBA up for negotiation, my opinion is that they will go expand the playoffs and they will go to a best of three in that first round, so you don't have that one and done, and I hope that that's what comes out of it. But, you know, you look, you brought up Wainwright today, and he's 6-0 against the Padres in St. Louis, and Darvish has one win in his last 12 games, but still, it's one game, and you got to see the Padres last night. We got to see them all week. What was your take on the Padres last night?
Well, the Padres have a very good lineup, a lineup, though, that has collectively gone into a slump. The reason why the Cardinals are sitting there in the number two wildcard spot right now is that the Padres, then the Reds, then the Phillies let the Cardinals hang around, and right now they're paying for it. Not that that can't turn in a few days, because it can. As the Phillies are sitting there with the best of both worlds, they're not that far out of a division title, just trailing Atlanta. They're not that far away from the second wild card either. So that can turn on a dime, but they let the Cardinals hang around. And now the Cardinals are taking advantage of it, which is going to make for a great 2 weeks.
Yeah, Phillies are 2.5 back of the Cardinals, 3 in the loss column. But and for us out here, the big game for the Braves tonight, the Phillies are only 2 back of the Braves in the East, and it's Nola and Carrasco, and they've got the Mets tonight. So very interesting the way all this has developed. It's great baseball. The other one who I've seen on some of the games, John, that I've watched and I've listened to you guys on the radio as well, is the shortstop. This Sosa has come on, and he's a very aggressive player. I like him a lot. Tell me about Sosa at short.
Well, Edmundo Sosa had a really poor spring going down in Jupiter, and then they told him that you've made the ball club with about four or five games to go in the spring, and he tore it up after that. He was out of options. They were going to have to do something with him if he didn't make the team. But thank goodness he made the ball club, because where Paul DeJong has struggled at the plate and has been quite inconsistent, Paul is still very good in the field. But Sosa gives you the best of both. He gives you a great at bat. And Ricky Horton has said on our broadcast many times, what he likes about Edmundo Sosa is every time he plays, he does something to help the ball club. And that's no exaggeration.
Yeah, I like him. I think he's a spark plug. Now, he was involved, John, in a crazy play in the middle of the week here where he made a play up the middle and spun around and threw to first and was way off the mark. But the umpire wasn't looking. He was looking at first base, Valentine, and he got hit in the side of the head. I've never seen that before, and thank God he's okay. But describe that play for us.
Well, I'm amazed that Valentine stayed in the game to umpire the rest of the way at first base. He was behind the plate the next night, then at third base, the final game of the series. But Sosa just got a ball up the middle that Pilar hit, and it was an ill-advised throw. Pilar had the single. He runs well. But Sosa just uncorked a wild throw and over 90 miles an hour and hit Valentine right there in the face. Now, Sosa made a similar throw last night that sailed over Paul Goldschmidt and off the screen in front of the dugout. That might be one thing Edmundo would want to think about. just give up the single every now and then and save the throw, and in many cases, save an error.
Well, the bullpen is a story for the Cardinals. We saw it when the Giants and Cardinals met, and Reyes was trouble, giving up home runs, walking people. In fact, the whole Cardinal bullpen walked so many. They were, I think, last in the league, and now they're one of the best in baseball. What's the turnaround? And I described it last week. I said Mike Schilt really just rearranged the chairs, but the way it is now, it works very well for the Cardinals. How is it working right now?
Well, Marty, you hit it on the head. Mike Schilt has done a marvelous job of managing his bullpen. That's what kept this team around, because the starting staff was in shambles after Jack Flaherty went down. We were playing the Dodgers in late May, early June. And he went out for a long time, came back, and had to go on the injured list again. And we're hoping to have him maybe in the next week to help finish up the season, perhaps out of the bullpen. But that was a big blow. And then the starting staff was just inconsistent. Dakota Hudson hasn't been available all year either. And that hard-throwing sinker baller might be back to perhaps make a start next weekend against the Cubs. That Friday doubleheader, we're kind of holding our breath on that one right now, but he's looked good in his rehab. But the bullpen had to line up to keep the Cardinals in it. And adding guys like Wade LeBlanc, who ended up with a sore elbow and can't pitch the rest of the year, but he did a good job while he was out there, and bringing in Luis Garcia. The Yankees were using him as a closer in the minors. He had like 11 saves, Marty, and they let him go. The Cardinals signed him, and he hit Wilson Contreras in the head with a pitch, the first pitch he threw as a Cardinal, but he rebounded nicely after about three or four really questionable outings in the bullpen, and now he has the longest scoreless streak of any reliever in the National League and I think Major League Baseball. But T.J. McFarland, a left-hander, has been a ground ball specialist, and he's been up with his pitches a little bit lately, but man, has he been used a lot. But that bullpen is rearranged, and Giovanni Gallegos is saving games now, and Reyes is working as a pretty good setup man, and he's picked up three victories in that role since going from closer into setup.
Well, and the other guy is Cabrera. I mean, and we saw him against the Giants. I mean, he can bring it, and he's somewhat more under control now.
I think that's the big thing. The emphasis is throw strikes, and it should be all the time anyway, Marty. But this is a ball club that has close to 30 walks with the bases loaded this year. And so they had to do something, and they had to bring in some veteran pitchers. And adding to a rotation, they had to bring in John Lester, who is one win away from 200 now. And Jay Happ is going to pitch the final game of the series. He's done a nice job since coming over from Minnesota. Only one really bad game where he couldn't get out of the first against the Reds. But other than that, he has been really good in the rotation. So a lot of things have had to come together. But when you put the good four, you know, five, six inning starts together with what the bullpen's done, Marty, the offense and the consistency there, that ties it all together. That wasn't present much of the season.
No, a very dangerous team. John Rooney with us. Everyone, I'm sure they know your voice, and we love talking ball with John, a play-by-play voice of the St. Louis Cardinals. Michaelis, last night he had a tremendous game. John, was it legit? I know he went into the sixth inning last night.
It was, Marty. It was the Miles Michaelis that we saw many times in 2018 when he was an 18-game winner and an All-Star. But the next year he had a lot more losses than wins, and then basically has been hurt from the playoffs in 2019 up until the present, where I think that was his seventh start. So basically he was at the end of spring training with the fifth or sixth start, and last night he put it all together. He was hitting corners, keeping the ball down in the zone, getting ground balls, pop-ups, more like the Miles Michaelis that we saw. And if he continues on that track, the Cardinals are in really good shape with their rotation. You put him together with Adam Wainwright, what he's been able to do, and Lester and Happ, and then maybe get Dakota Hudson back to help bolster things for a spot start, maybe some help out of the bullpen. You can't have enough pitching this time of year. And I like the way the Giants have been running their pitchers in and out most of the year, keeping their roster pretty fresh. And that's why I like the Giants' chances, Marty, because I like the balance they have on their roster. They've added some of those 30-somethings that other clubs didn't really want to pay a lot of money for, but those are valuable people who can still play baseball and contribute. And to me, that's something they need to do with the next basic agreement, is make sure that a lot of those players can stick around, because perhaps they'd play until they're 40 years old and bring a lot to baseball that we're missing right now.
Boy, I'd love to see it. We haven't had that part of the game, but you're right. Belt, Crawford, Longoria, Posey, all in their mid-30s, and they're having not only excellent seasons but career seasons. And it's been what a year this has been. Also, for you, Mike Shannon celebrates his 50th anniversary behind the mic with the Cardinals. And of course, he was a World Series hero in the 60s. And I love hearing his voice. Get up, get up, get up. You know, that the way he calls the home run. What's it like celebrating this 50th with Mike Shannon?
Well, it's the 50th and his final year in the booth, Marty, as he has I think five or six more games that he's doing. He doesn't do road games and hasn't done road games for a long time. And Ricky Horton does those with me, and we'll work the games starting next year, home and away. But Mike is finishing up, and he's had a rough year. He had COVID back over the winter and has battled with that, but he shows up. He comes to play just like he did when he was a player, and he's going to finish as strong as he can. And the fans have warmly received him as they pay tribute after the second inning every home game to Mike, and they're going to have a big celebration, the final game of the season a week from Sunday. I'm going to host the on-field ceremonies beforehand with the club, with Anheuser-Busch. I don't know too many people who sold as many tickets and as much beer as Mike Shannon has sold over the years. But Budweiser and the Cardinals are going to honor him next Sunday and have a big reception after the ball game over at Ballpark Village. And then we'll see what happens if the Cardinals get to move on and have a one-game playoff somewhere.
Well, they're a dangerous team. And I like the, as we started the interview with Goldschmidt, O'Neill, who's really starting to really show the power that you want, a big guy. And he's got that uniform painted on. And you've got Arenado, who's heading for six straight 30 and 100 years. And to me, that's a big part of it, is having those veterans in the middle lifting this ball club. But look, it's baseball, John. It's a long season. It's the marathon. And for the Cardinals, the offense decided to show up in September. How about that?
And you look at the outfield, where O'Neill is 25, 26. You have Carlson, 22 years old, from Elk Grove, California. And he had a grand slam to seal the deal last night, and he homered from both sides of the plate in the game. And then Harrison Bader, he's the old man at 27 out there in center field. And, man, can he go get the ball. And I think he's going to win a gold glove this year. We don't have a Pujols, and we don't have Berkman and David Freese, but we do have Goldschmidt, Arenado, and Yadier Molina, and Adam Wainwright. And in many ways, this is starting to feel kind of like the 2011 season when the Cardinals were double digits down in the wild card, turning the page into September, and they won the wild card on the last day and managed to move on and win the whole thing as they got by the Philadelphia Phillies, and they beat the Milwaukee Brewers, who won the division, and then beat the Texas Rangers. So who knows, Marty?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, you know, we got two more weeks of ball, and every day is a playoff game. Well, you did mention something I want to follow up with, and that's Albert Pujols coming back. John, the guy hit a home run in his first at-bat against the Cardinals. I mean, you can't script these things. And Wainwright's, you know, looking the dugout when it happened. What a moment.
What else would you expect? He's Albert Pujols. And we're not going to see a player like that with 11 years that he produced in St. Louis. I don't think I'll ever see one the rest of my life. I'd like to. We all would for each organization. I mean, what Trout has done, certainly in Anaheim, and what some of the Giants have been able to do over the years there in San Francisco. But Albert Pujols, 11 years, just a monumental time. And in many respects, Marty, I'm kind of glad they didn't re-sign him, because if he had taken that money and stayed with the Cardinals, we probably wouldn't have Wainwright, Molina, and probably wouldn't have been back in a World Series in 2013 and made the playoffs in the following years, because it would have been Albert and a lot of young players trying to build, and maybe they would have somewhere along the line, but Albert wasn't able to win in Anaheim the way he did in St. Louis. But when he comes back to St. Louis, he knows how to please the crowd.
Boy, he did. It was a great moment, great baseball moment. John, thank you so much for spending time with us. I think we're going to be talking a little bit more as we get into October with this Cardinal team. They look like they've put it together. So, John, thank you so much. I always appreciate it.
Oh, I always appreciate visiting with you, Marty. You're a real pro and a great baseball fan and baseball person, and just a good friend, too. And I miss seeing you in person when we were out there before the All-Star break.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it. All right, that is John Rooney. He is the play-by-play voice, radio voice of the St. Louis Cardinals. More coming up, KNBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.